for everyone here that we really appreciate Brooke and Julia for all that they do with DOK. A lot of time and a lot of hours go into this, and every year I am so blessed by DOK, and I really appreciate all you ladies and all the speakers and just everyone involved. And I think Ashley Collins has helped this year with organizing things, and I just appreciate it, and I just love DOK. Just. All right, so, you know, generally speaking, we tend to say, keep your head up, or keep your chin up, but can I suggest to you that there are times to keep your head down? I mean, think about it. What do we do when there's an approaching storm, or maybe the tornado sirens are going off? Well, you might grab the flashlight, put your shoes on, and then head down to the basement to hunker down until the storm passes. Or if there is a tornado overhead, you're going to ball up, you're going to put your head down, and you're going to put your hands over your head for added protection. And storms can be quite frightening. And storm and fear go hand in hand, and like storms, fear can be very distressing. Fear can rise up when you perceive that there is a threat or when you sense that there's impending danger. And you might become very nervous because you are anticipating that something very unpleasant could happen. Believe me, I know because I am familiar with fear. Just to name a few, I'm afraid of open heights. I mean, I get all shaky-kneed, I feel wobbly, I feel like I could pass out. And I can act a little bit on the ridiculous side. Just ask my son about the time that he took me up to the Vulcan. I'm afraid of failure, and I'm afraid of danger. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm afraid of tornadoes. And only my kids know how many times they have been thrown into the closet with me piling mattresses on top of them at the mere mention of storms when they were little. I'm afraid of just situations that I don't have any control over. I'm afraid of a lot of things. And what are your fears? Tell your neighbor just one thing of something that you are afraid of. But what does the Bible say about fear? Well, you know, actually, God directs us to not fear, and the phrase fear not or be not afraid is found many times in the Bible. Isaiah 35:4 says, be strong, do not fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Genesis 26:24 says, do not be afraid. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, do not be afraid. The Bible repeatedly tells us to not be afraid. And God knows us well, and he knows our fears. He knows how often we get afraid. He knows what triggers our fear. Fear is really God-given, and we're all afraid of something. So that means that we are all familiar with fear. And fear can be healthy. It alerts us to danger so that we will take the necessary actions in order to protect ourselves. But he also knows that our imaginations can run wild. And I'm going to read to you a story from the Bible when Jesus and his disciples are in the boat during a storm and his disciples are afraid. You know the story well. Mark 4:35 through 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, Let us go to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So Jesus is there, but he's in the stern. He's in the back of the boat. He's behind the scenes and sleeping on a cushion. He's not worried about the storm. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're using their imagination. They are envisioning drowning. And they're obviously afraid. In fact, they seem like they're on the verge of panic. How many times have you been in a storm in your life? And you wonder, just where is God? He's nowhere to be found. And here you are, up late at night, pacing the floors. You're losing sleep. He doesn't seem to hear your cries. He doesn't seem to hear your prayers. He seems to be doing nothing. And here you are in your emergency situation, and he seems like he's the one that's getting some sleep. Well, again, the disciples are afraid, but they went to the master, and they were able to wake him up. Listen to what happens next. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind dies down, and it was completely calm. God was there. And he calmed the wind, he calmed the waves, and he calmed their storm. And that means that he can calm our storms. But then he admonishes them a little bit. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." God holds all the power. He commands the wind and the waves. He's in control. Why then are we so afraid when we go through storms? Well, fear is normal. It's an instinct. In fact, fear is God-given, and it's necessary because it alerts us when there's danger or threat of harm so that we will take the necessary actions that we need to protect ourselves. There's that dangerous storm approaching. So you hunker down and you just take the appropriate shelter. That's healthy fear. And that fear is grounded, and you've taken all the necessary precautions, and now you're just going to hunker down. But then that fear can become unhealthy if you're not careful, because the storm is scary, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. So you start to use your imagination. And you start thinking, what if the tornado hits? What if it damages my house? Or what if it destroys my house? Or what if I get injured, or somebody that I love gets injured? We could all die! Well, that's not very healthy. That's unhealthy fear. Panic's trying to move in now, and so because you can't see how it's going to turn out. And when you go through storms, your faith is being tested. Do you really trust God? You know, in his word, God, he is constantly reminding us that he's with us and that he instructs us to not fear. And he's always encouraging us, "I am with you. I am here. Fear not. Your prayer is heard. Fear not. Be strong. Fear not. I will nourish you." I don't know how many times it's in the Word of God, but it's enough that we need to heed by the sheer number of times that it's in there. It matters how we react when we are afraid? How do you act when you're afraid? You know, the devil uses fear to undermine our faith, and he uses fear to decrease our hope. And it can limit how far we can go in him. And fear can become a chain or an outright enemy because it can immobilize us or even defeat us if we're not careful. So whether or not we remain calm or allow panic to move in can make the difference in the outcome of your emergency. And imaginations can run wild if we don't stay focused on God, and one thing can lead to another. And when I was preparing for this talk, I came across some information on the real life events that inspired the book Moby Dick. Some of you may know it. There was a whaling boat by the name of Essex, and it was attacked by a sperm whale, and the ship sank. But they were able to escape in their lifeboats. And the nearest and safest option for survival was for them to sail to the Marquesas Islands. And the captain actually wanted to head there, but because some that were with him, some of the sailors had heard that there was cannibalism going on there, so those plans were nixed. So the fear of the rumors caused them to make a terrible mistake and instead chose to go miles and miles further than their nearest and safest option. And we need to be careful who we listen to when we are going through a crisis. We need to go prayerfully when we go through a storm. And we need to stand on the word of God and just listen to the wise counsel of our pastor. And they also had a second option. They could have gone to Hawaii, but again, fear got the best of them because it was the season for storms. And so they chose to go the longest and furthest route. And they wound up doing the thing that they feared the most, and they themselves resorted to cannibalism. But if we stay focused on God and we keep our head down in prayer, making sure that we are lining up with the Word of God, God will see us through our storms. And I'm going to share a story with you. And this life experience took place over the 4th of July holiday 8 years ago when Hadley was 7 and Levi was 5. And I interviewed my family after this event took place so that I wouldn't lose any of the details. So this is really a shared account. It's an accounting of from everyone that was involved in this situation. I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to lose any of the detail. The serene landscape of Gunnersville Lake brought with it a feeling of mellowness. It was late afternoon as the pontoon boat gently swayed in the calm and undisturbed water. It was a beautiful day as the sun glistened as the water causing it sparkle, and we were enjoying the brave divers and jumpers as they swooped into the water from the high cliffs. And after taking in the sight of the painted bluff, we left to experience the lock. After my brother-in-law, Freddie, found his geocache, we made our way back to the dam, only to be delayed for a time by a gigantic barge. After finally being released from the lock, we sped as fast as the old boat would go, and we made our way to the Hambrick Bat Cave. With 2 minutes to spare, we barely made it in time, and we anchored down and settled in for the short wait for the spectacular emergence. It was truly a sight to behold. Hundreds of thousands of flying mammals swarmed out for their majestic home. And after 15 minutes in focus awe, the bats had emptied out for the night in hopes to fill their hungry bellies. The show was over. It was getting dark, and most of the spectators had already left with just a boat or two that lingered behind. Life is good. Everything is going great. We're just having a good time. You got food on the table. Everybody's getting along. Everybody's healthy. You know how it is. You're just enjoying life, rocking along. Well, my sister, Susan, glanced up into the sky, and noticing a dark and odd skyline, she quietly pulled up the weather radar and saw that an ominous storm was upon us. Now remember, I'm the one that threw her kids into the closet at the mere mention of storms. And she tranquilly turned to me and gently said, "Now, Gina, I don't want to have to tell you this because I don't want you to panic, but you need to be aware that we're about to be in a storm." What do you mean? What are you talking about? She proceeded to inform her husband calmly and quietly, and he immediately cranked up the boat. And as soon as we turned the corner, we saw what the mountainous bluff had hidden from us. We were headed straight into a large and menacing storm. Fear and alarm gripped me, but by the grace of God, I managed to keep from outright panic. And I did have the presence of mind to suggest that we put the electronics in my waterproof bag and to put on our life jackets. And so we quickly tossed the items in as it began to rain. And as if to mock us, there was a larger, newer boat that zipped by, clearly speeding to outrun the storm as our 20-year-old pontoon putted as fast as it could go. And the wind picked up, and the waves began to get choppy, and my mind was racing. Where do we go? What do we do? And I'm like, aren't we supposed to get off the boat when there's a storm? I asked anybody that was listening, and I'm quickly told, there's nowhere to go. There's nothing but rocks and bluffs. We've got to head into the storm to get to land and safety. You know, suddenly and seemingly out of nowhere, a storm can blow into your life. You didn't see it coming. You are stunned. You feel sucker punched. And, you know, we are in a storm collectively together right now. We're going through this pandemic. And saints are getting COVID. Families are getting it, and some people are even dying from it. We have all this social unrest with the election, and some people have been affected financially. And this is really no time for us to isolate. This is a time for us to just pull together. Because sometimes a storm is going to hit. And this is a time where we've got to hunker down and we've got to keep our head down in prayer. And some storms you can't go around. You can't get away from it. You just have to go through it and you got to keep your head down in prayer. Suddenly, the 32-gallon gas tank blew off the boat and Freddie stopped the boat to retrieve it. And my son-in-law, Nathan, leaned out of the water trying to recover it. And after a quick couple of failed attempts, Freddie orders to abandon the barrel. "It's not worth it," he shouts. You know, when you're going through a storm, don't focus on the things that do not matter. Focus on your relationship with Jesus and with your family and your friends and your loved ones, because those are the ones that are going to be with you when you go through a storm. The canopy was down, but kept blowing up like a parachute, and my sister was trying to hold it down by laying on top of it, and as Nathan ran to her assistance together, They laid on the canopy with their body weight as my daughter Brooke quickly gathered her two children and laid them in the floor of the boat, ordering them to stay down as she was throwing towels on top of them in attempt to shelter them. And then she began to search for a place to beach the boat, and she is stunned at the force of the wind and the water. And we all just sprang into action. We worked together as a team. And that's how we need to be with one another. When a brother or a sister is going through a storm, we've got to pull together and we've got to comfort someone that is going through a storm. We've got to encourage them and help them. And we did everything that we knew to do. And we just began to pray. At what point, I don't know, but I'm told by two accounts that I stood up and demanded with an authoritative voice, "Just what is going on here?" To whom, I don't know. But what I do know is an often quoted, I mean, it's a family saying now. My kids will never let me live it down. But have you ever questioned God? Just what is going on here? Why is this happening? Why me, God? Why is this happening? Well, taking in the surreal conditions, I crawled to the other side of the boat where my grandchildren were, and I laid on top of them to shelter them, to calm their fears. Okay, and mine too. And I began to pray aloud, and I heard my daughter praying. And with the deafening wind, I couldn't hear her, but was told later that my sister was praying, and she was singing praise songs. And that's what we do when we're in a storm. We do everything that we know to do, and then we just hunker down and keep our head down, and we pray. Nathan and Susan both love thunderstorms, and in the surrealness of the situation, they were in awe in a weird, cool way. I don't get it, but I often hear how in tornadic weather, how people become mesmerized by the tornado, and they might be standing there filming the tornado and watching the debris swirl in the air, when really they should already be in the shelter. And this would describe Susan and Nathan now. They were mesmerized. And Nathan compared it to riding a bull, and he was actually having a blast at this point. The only fear that he had was that someone would panic and ruin the fun. But I did not panic. The clouds were flashing, frequent giant sparks of electricity, and it was lighting up the sky. And my daughter was shouting to be heard in the strong wind and the heavy rain, reassuring me that it was flat lightning, that it wasn't actually striking the ground. Well, that made me feel better. She was trying to keep me encouraged and just telling me that the flashes of light were helping to navigate us to safety. The sky was pitch black, and with the rain coming down so hard, it was hard to see without the lightning flashes. You know, when you cleave to God in a storm, he often does that, does he not? He'll give you the flashes of light. It can be in the form of someone coming up and giving you a word, or someone will come and lay hands on you and pray for you, or give you words of encouragement. He'll help navigate us through the storms that we go through. He'll give us those flashes of light to help us through that storm. Well, now the swells were 3 to 4 feet, and the water begins white capping and crashing into the boat. As I heard my daughter yell, "It's too late!" And I hear her shouting, "I see a water spout!" And hot rain began to pelt us, and I could feel the boat turning sideways as it pitched back and forth into occasional 6 to 7 foot swells. This was a perilous situation. And I began to pray louder as I sheltered my grandchildren. My thoughts were warring back and forth, and my mind was racing, fighting outright panic. I was fearful that the boat would capsize, and I was afraid that Hadley or Levi could fall out. My imagination was running wild. So I did what any sane person would do. I lifted up my head to look at the waves and the storm, to survey the situation for myself. Well, Brooke, noticing me, didn't want me to see how bad it was, and she ordered, "Keep your head down." I put my head down. Well, praying some more, but then I looked up again, still fighting panic, and again she orders, "Keep your head down." Well, she's obviously remembering all the times I threw her into the closet, just saying. Well, she didn't want me to focus on the storm and go into a panic. I kept my head down. Can I tell you that there is a time to fall on your face and keep your head down in prayer to weather out the storm? Some things are out of your control, and you've just got to hunker down in your emergency. God, I don't know what to do. Keep your head down. I'm afraid, God, this is out of my control. Keep your head down. I've lost my income. I'm forced to sell my home. Keep your head down. I've lost my place in my community. I've lost everything I own, and now I've lost my identity. I don't know who I am anymore. Keep your head down. I don't have a job, and I've only got $3 in the bank. There's no food in the house. How am I going to survive? Keep your head down. I don't want my children to be lost and a slave to sin. Keep your head down. My daughter goes into premature labor in her 6th month of pregnancy. I don't know how this is going to turn out, God. Keep your head down. The doctor said that if he lived, he could be blind. Keep your head down. My mother having a major stroke during another major catastrophic event that was unfolding at the same time. Keep your head down. And then my grandson, born at 3 pounds, 2 months premature in NICU for a month, with Brooke being rehospitalized for complications from a C-section at the same time. Keep your head down. The list goes on, and there were other things happening at the same time. But there was a several-year period where I was hit by a wave, and then another, and another, and another, and they kept crashing into my boat. And I learned to keep my head down in prayer. As I focused on the prayer during this storm, I became calmer, and I hung on to God for dear life. And when you're in a desperate situation, you pray like your life depends on it. God, you are the captain of my ship. God, I pray that you would help us and that you would guide us to safety. God, we need your help. And I started praying in tongues loudly. And the prayer language sounds powerful. And as I'm praying in tongues, I realize that the words begin coming out in English. Row, row, row. Jesus was there. His people were in that boat. And where his people are, you will find Jesus. And you better believe that there were angels surrounding that boat. And after seemingly forever, we finally found a place to beach the boat at the edge of a campground. But Freddie was fighting against the forceful air, and as the newspaper indicated the next day, the winds were gusting up to 60 miles per hour. The boat was literally blowing sideways. This is when Susan and Nathan became concerned. When they saw that Freddie had no control over the boat, it scared them, and they thought that we could crash against the rocks. But Freddie was laser focused on the task at hand, and he remained calm, and with intentness, he sped the boat up, and he gunned us onto the campground's beach. And if you're going to survive your storm, you got to be intentional. You got to stay laser focused. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your head down in prayer and follow the guidance of your pastor and stand on the word of God. The tents were overturned and the campground equipment was demolished with the campground, the campfire whipping crazily in the wind. And carrying both kids, I quickly jumped out of the boat onto precious land while the others tied the boat to a tree and gathered our things, and it was still furiously storming. Now on land, I was searching for shelter when suddenly two glorious headlights were heading directly toward us. There was a nice man behind the wheel of a big pickup truck, and he delivered us to the safety of the campground bathhouse as we awaited Freddie's father to pick us up. Worried, he'd been out searching for us the whole time, checking the piers along the way. Can I tell you that God will bring you to your desired haven? You know, we face many trials, many storms in our life, and sometimes your worst fears do come true. Maybe it's a child backsliding or a spouse. Maybe it's a sickness or a cancer diagnosis. Maybe someone you love is abusing drugs. I mean, the list goes on. And sometimes you can't fix a situation. But don't focus on the storm, because panic can set in. Just call out to Jesus and keep your eyes on him, because he is the captain of your ship. And how you react when you go through a storm, it matters. You can encourage yourself in his word, because God will take you from faith to faith. And when you go through a storm the next time, you can encourage yourself by recalling how he helped you before. And can I have the praise team come up? Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Keep your head down when you go through your storms. I don't like going through storms. I'd rather not. And there are some storms that I have gone through that I would not wish on my worst enemy if I had an enemy. Because it can be excruciating at times. But storms make you stronger. And I can honestly say that every time that I've come out of storm, it's made me stronger. I am a survivor of storms, and this altar is open. And if anyone wants to come down and just ask God to help you through the storms that you face, God, I pray that you would help us through the storms that we face. God, that you would help us, Lord.
faith in you, and I pray, God, that you would help us, that you would be with us, God. We trust you, and we believe you, God. And remember that God has divine power over danger. Mark 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And I want to close with this. Be not afraid, only believe.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is.